Tracy died soon after a long fought civil war. Just after I wiped away his last tear.
It was announced today by authorities, at least it is being reported by news outlets, that authorities in Minnesota, in the Twin Cities area, are going to announce that Prince did die of an accidental opioid overdose. Mm-hmm. And there had been leaks and a lot of speculation even at the moment of his death about this kind of thing. But I think it took a lot of people by surprise because he seemed like a guy that he just didn't seem like he would have a drug problem. Now, the question is, when, especially with opioids like this, pills, pain pills that are prescribed regularly by doctors, perhaps even over-prescribed by doctors, at what point, and some of which seem to be highly addictive, what's the point where you go from being like somebody who's trying to do this because they are trying to control pain post-surgically or whatever it happens to be, to an addict versus somebody who's trying to do this recreationally and they become an addict? Mm-hmm. And there's no better human being on the earth to describe and explain that to us than Dr. Drew Pinsky right now. Dr. Drew, thank you for joining us. It's always a pleasure.
It's my pleasure. Thank you so much.
So let's go to that issue of a lot of people getting addicted to opioids because they are prescribed them legally, right? And for a very good reason, and then they just stay on them too long?
Listen, this is the medical problem of our time. I've been screaming about this for almost 10 years. I'm shocked that it took this to finally get people's attention. We have 5% of the world's population, and we consume 80% of the prescription opiates on the planet. The massive overprescribing of opiates is out of control, and patients are dying by the dozens every hour. The combination of benzodiazepine and opioids is a fatal combination. They are routinely prescribed. It's now increasingly evident that the treatment of chronic pain is made worse by pain medication, not better, and that people who are on these medications have a potentially fatal problem that is either dependency or addiction. Now, splitting hairs, whether it's truly an addictive process or a dependency, these are sort of nuances that I get into in my field of addiction medicine. But in either case, it is extremely easy to die of these medications. And the massive overprescribing is simply baffling to me.
Now you mentioned benzodiazepine. And people, that's like Valium and drugs like that, right?
Right, correct.
And so you're saying that people who mix opioids like the painkillers, Oxycontin, things like that, with Valium, that's a very dangerous. I mean, that sounds like a dangerous thing, but it's completely dangerous.
They're routinely prescribed together, and that's how people are dying. We're at the point now where my illicit drug addicts, my patients use heroin and cocaine and any other non-legal drug, almost never die of their addiction to an illicit drug. Nearly 100% of the time when they die because one of my peers gave them a prescription to opiates. That is simply how addicts die today. It's unbelievable that we haven't trained our physicians to identify and understand what this thing is and how unbelievably dangerous it is to hand people, even with just the genetic potential for this disease, a big bottle of opioid pain medication. I can't say it enough. 5% of the population, 80% of the opiates. How is that possible? It's just out of control right now, and Prince is just the latest. This started all the way back with Heath Ledger. Do you remember him dying of a sleep medication and an opiate? That was how many years ago? And I said, I'm on the record saying this is the beginning of a tsunami because I was seeing it all the time in my practice, constantly. And it's only now something getting into the public discourse. Finally, it looks like it's peaked. It's looked like there's been a recent downturn in prescribing practices. The problem is that physicians, rather than calling these patients in that we've rendered addicted, calling them in and saying, look, we have a new problem now. Neither of us intended this, but we have to get this treated. You not only have pain, you now have a new problem. It's called addiction. I'm sorry, I didn't intend it. You certainly didn't intend it. Let's get you treated. Instead of doing that, they cut the patients off and say, this is a bad patient. They're doctor shopping. Get out of here. And where do you think an opiate addict goes when you cut them off? Well, now you have our new problem, which is the heroin epidemic.
So is it, Dr. Drew, that they're now trying to figure out, well, were these prescribed? Did he get them through other means? Is it important to go?
I'm certain they were prescribed.
Is it important to go after the doctor then and start doing an investigation there? And
do what? I mean, what's going to happen is here's what they're going to find. They're going to find that he had multiple insiders around him who allowed the doctor to use their names to do the prescribing, so there was no way to track it, that he was probably eating the patches, which is how my patients die. They will open the packets. It's a transdermal. It's either a lollipop or a transdermal package of fentanyl that delivers medication slowly over time. And by the way, even at the slowly delivery, neither of you could work if I had you on one of those patches. But for my patients, of course, that's not enough because they become tolerant and their disease progresses. They'll open the patches and eat what's inside or shoot it, and that's how they die.
They're saying in Prince's case, he might have been prescribed them initially, dealing with the pain from his hip surgery, and then a performer who's dancing and jumping on stage and working long hours with that kind of physical activity would need them because he would be having pain.
Listen to what I said at the opening. For patients with chronic pain, their pain is made worse by opiates. Initially relieved, but made worse over the long term. It is underlined, not an effective treatment for chronic pain. There is no scientific evidence that it's useful. And in my experience, and I have lots of it, it makes things much worse. And finally, that data is starting to come out. It makes things worse. If it were useful, I would say, geez, this is one of these unfortunate sort of circumstances where, you know, the risk benefit wasn't analyzed and the risk seemed to be worth it, and damn, it wasn't. No, there's no benefit. It makes things worse.
So what would be prescribed?
And you cause dependency and addiction.
What should be prescribed in your view in a situation like that?
In his case, you would get the hip procedure, for one thing. But number two, there's Toradol, there are local injections. He wouldn't need so much medication if he weren't on the opiates. I can't emphasize this enough. It's the opioids that were causing the pain. I'm going to predict also that when we see the final autopsy, there's not going to be any hip pathology. It's a function of the opiate causing the pain. It's called hyperalgesia. They go into chronic withdrawal. I the latter part of my career running a drug treatment center, I stopped doing that about 5 years ago. But before I left, I was getting burned out because all I was doing was taking patients with chronic pain off opiates. When they came into the hospital, they would say, oh, my God, when you ask on a scale of 10, how bad is your pain? They would always say, never 10. They'd always say 15, 18, 20. And within 2 weeks, they go through a very miserable 2 weeks. I'm not going to pretend it wasn't a bad 2 weeks. But after 2 weeks, they would have to be prompted to talk about their pain as opposed to talking about it constantly. And when you ask on a scale of 10, they would almost always say 4 or 5. Just taking them off the opiate. Nothing else. No other treatment.
I want to go back to this first part that you mentioned, because I think this affects a lot of people, mm-hmm. because they do get prescribed opiates by their doctors for, you know, whatever it is, if they've had post-surgically or for other, you know, generally an orthopedic issue. Now, if they're already, and maybe not even telling their doctors that they are taking some form of benzodiazepine, whether that's Cirax or Xanax or Valium, the old, you know, the old versions of that, that at what point do people die from that? I mean, is that after consuming a lot of it, or can that just be a very small blood level of interaction that creates a problem?
It can be surprisingly low, but typically it's not. It's typically certainly more than would be ordinarily prescribed, but it doesn't have to be a lot more. It may be just be they're shortening the duration between dosing. They may be doubling down. They're not necessarily taking fistfuls and dying. Then they definitely die. But if somebody, it slowly sleeps up, sneaks up on them. They forget when they take their last dose. They take a little too much. They have a little alcohol with it, and that's enough to suppress respirations, and patients die. Mm. This happens, I'm telling you, 100% of my patients, when they die, have a prescription at their bedside from one of my peers. It breaks my heart.
That's amazing.
It is.
That is amazing. And well, it is interesting. I Dr. Drew and I, you know, you and I have known each other a long time, and this has been ongoing, as you said, for a decade. You've been talking about this, but the thing that is that does happen is when something sort of goes over the cliff. And I think that Prince takes this over the cliff, because Prince was one of those beloved characters, controversial yet beloved regardless.
Yeah, no question.
And it was a surprise.
It took what it took. I mean, I'm glad we're having these conversations. I think some of it is that it's so surprising that somebody who seemed to be healthy, seemed to be taking fastidious care of themselves, did not seem to be an addict. And by the way, I'm not sure he's an addict. He may just be one of these people that got severely dependent. So it's, again, the addict is somebody who continues to pursue the drug once you get them off it. It's possible that if he was able to be detoxed and really managed effectively with his pain with opiates, he may never have gone back to them.
Let me ask you this, though. You mentioned that suppressed respiration is what kills people. That generally kills them while they're sleep, you know, in and around sleeping. He was found in an elevator. Could that have led to some other form of loss of precipitous loss of consciousness?
Yes. Well, it's really. I was just researching this before I called you, whether there have been any reported cases of sudden cardiac death from fentanyl, which I've not heard of. Also, untoward events of the medication. I agree with you. It's strange.
Yeah, there's a strange circumstances surrounding
it. But here's the thing. The medical examiner has not released information. They're saying no other associated cause.
You're breaking up a little bit here because of the cell, but that's all right.
But
what you're saying is that they right now they're saying there's no other associated cause. So in a situation like that, if you die in an elevator, it's precipitous. That would be heart attack, stroke, something like that. Somebody takes you out while you were able to get to that elevator. The idea that the way by which Dr. Drew is describing people dying is basically stopping breathing while sleeping.
Gosh.
And that doesn't appear to be the case here. So I think there's another piece of this puzzle.
I have another question for Dr. Drew, though. You were saying you get angry and frustrated with these doctors in you know, no uncertain terms for prescribing it. Is it also a drug that's readily found and available on the street? I mean, is it easy to get?
Yeah, it's not easy to get, but it's commonly being complexed in with heroin. You hear little outbreaks of people dying of heroin overdoses. When they examine what was in the heroin, it turns out to be fentanyl. Fentanyl is more dangerous than heroin. It's really easy to overdose on that when you take it intravenously, which, again, you know, my patients often will shoot it or eat what's inside the fentanyl patches. So it's not easy to overdose on it without doing one of those things, though you can. You can do that.
But fentanyl is commonly used, isn't it, Dr. Drew? Isn't fentanyl commonly used as a sedative, like for oral surgery and things like that?
Yeah, it's a good pain medication. Listen, the whole idea of a medication or a chemical being good or bad is a flawed concept. It's bad in certain contexts, and it's good in other contexts. The chemical is just a chemical, and the relationship is simply of the biology of the human mammalian system. The problem is, if you have chronic pain, it's going to make it worse. If you have addiction, it could trigger that disease. And that's it's the relationship with the chemical that is the issue, not the chemical itself. If you have surgery, fentanyl is a great medication for some people. For others, they can have adverse reactions to it. Same thing with morphine. If you're a heroin addict, morphine is not a good medication.
Yeah. All right, Dr. Drew, thank you very much. Appreciate your time, always. Thanks.
You got it. Thank you, guys.
All right,
powerful stuff.
You can see him on HLN. That way?
To think about how, you know, how many people are overdosing on this and how common it is. And then you heard the frustration in his voice about how often, how it's misprescribed. It's pretty shocking.